Amen. You know, thank the Lord for 90 years, Central Baptist Church has been faithful to the Lord's work. Now, that has not always been easy. Those that know the history of this church understand that there have been, I guess you could say, good times and bad times. Difficult times and times of great blessing. But I believe the reason why the church has been blessed, and really the reason why we remain today, is because we've been faithful to God's work. We've been faithful to proclaim Jesus Christ. Faithful to take the gospel out. You know, through the years, the church has never lost sight of the Great Commission. Now, you'll find the Great Commission in the four Gospels and also in Acts chapter 1. And that is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world. And I believe that our church has been blessed and we remain today because we've been faithful to that. We have continued to take the gospel out. Looking back through the history of this church, you'll find that the church has supported missionaries throughout this world. We still support missionaries taking the gospel out throughout this world. The church has taught the gospel faithfully every week. Every week and many times in between, Wednesday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday mornings, Saturday afternoons, the church has been faithful to present the gospel. The church has sent the gospel out in printed form, over the radio, and even online. And the church has been faithful to present the gospel. You see, the church has been blessed because it's remained faithful to doing what God has asked it to do, or directed it to do. And this morning, I want to challenge you. This message is a challenge. We must remain faithful to God's work. We have to. If we drop the ball concerning God's work, then we'll struggle as a church. That's guaranteed. We have to continue spreading the gospel. We have to continue taking the gospel out so people can hear the gospel of good news and they can make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. You see, if we lose sight of this, and I believe this wholeheartedly as a pastor, if we lose sight of taking the gospel out to the world, we might as well shut every other ministry down and focus on that again. Shut it all down. Focus on taking the gospel out. You see, that's what's important. People need to hear that there's a Savior, that their sins can be forgiven, that there is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, as you know, God's work is often accompanied with difficulties and trials. You know, as we continue to take the gospel out, there are going to be some hardships. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to go out to people who want to hear. But we must continue to be faithful. Today, I hope to challenge you to remain faithful to God's work as a church, but also as individuals. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning, we're going to look at a passage written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Now, the primary application of this passage, of course, is written to a man of God who was a young man serving the Lord, faithful, establishing churches, or at least putting things in order in the churches that he was sent to. And that's the primary application. But I do believe that there's some teaching here for all of us. Whether you're called of God to preach or if God has called you down a different career and you're a faithful member, there is teaching here for each of us and a challenge for all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son," or chapter 2, excuse me, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Dear Lord, we come to you at this time. Thank you for the blessings. I thank you for this church, and I thank you that you have allowed us to continue and to present your gospel to the world. And I thank you for those that have gathered here this morning to sing praises unto you and to be challenged from your word. I pray you will guide and direct in this message. I pray you'll provide the spiritual teaching that you have for each one of us. We know you know our hearts, our thoughts, our intents. Please, God, guide and direct. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to give to you three examples taken directly from the Scriptures. Three examples for us to look at so we can remain faithful as we do God's work. You'll notice in the first two verses that Timothy was challenged. He was challenged to work. Then he was challenged to remain in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he was challenged to teach others so they could do the same thing. That's not our focus this morning, but that's the challenges he was given. Next, we see that Paul provided three examples for him to look to. Three examples for him to remember or to be reminded of how he's to approach God's work. And these are the three examples I'd like to present to you this morning and hope and pray that they'll encourage you, perhaps challenge you, as you do God's work and as you serve Him. The first one is the dedication of the soldier. Notice the dedication of the soldier. I guess you could say this is the soldier's example. We find that beginning there in verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, Paul was referring to the Roman soldier, is who he was referring to. That was the power in the country, in the world at that time, the Roman Empire. And he was referring to the Roman soldier. And soldiers during that time, probably no different than today, expected hardness. I mean, they weren't going in to play a sport. They were soldiers. They were going in with the possibility of going into battle. And so they expected hardness. That's the first thing I want you to think on concerning a soldier. They expected it. And because they expected it, they were prepared to endure difficulties and to persist through hardships. Soldiers were taken from their homes and their friends. They were often lived in foreign countries. Back in the time of the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, they didn't have airplanes where they could get on a plane and get back home within a few hours. When they went somewhere, they stayed for a long period of time. So they endured not only difficulties, but they lived in foreign countries. They were exposed to cold, heat, rain. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And sometimes these soldiers had to endure to the limit that their body would take them. I mean, some of them had to endure great struggles and hardships as they went forth for their empire. That's just part of being a soldier. It came with it, so to speak. That was part of their responsibility, part of what they expected. They had to expect hardness and to endure it. This morning, believers, this is the example that Paul had given to Timothy. We should expect nothing else. Life is going to be difficult, especially if you trust in Christ. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be, a life of ease and comfort. We're going to have some trials. There are going to be some tough times. There are going to be spiritual battles. This morning, I can tell you this, you will be tempted to sin. There are going to be times you'll be tempted to forsake God. There'll be times you'll be tempted to stop reading your Bible. There'll be times you'll be tempted to go the way of the world. You see, there'll be strong spiritual battles, and we must expect that as believers. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be discouragements. The devil will attack God, His Word, and of course His followers. We find that in the Scriptures. So we should expect nothing else. We should prepare ourselves and be ready to endure hardness. You see, I think that Paul basically was telling Timothy, get ready. He didn't try to deceive him and say, everything's going to be good. You know, you're going to have a nice, easy life now that you're a Christian. He said, get ready. There are going to be some battles coming. You have to be ready to endure those. You know, as we serve God, we need to be prepared for some battles as individuals and perhaps as a church. Now, Timothy was challenged to endure these. Notice he said there in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. He didn't say escape. He didn't say, Timothy, run as fast as you can the other way. Try to go around the mountain. Try to go around the difficulty. He said, endure it. You have to get through them. And with God's power, you're going to be able to endure these. See, he was to expect trials and to be ready to deal with these difficulties because serving God is not easy. You know, this morning, as believers, if you're saved here this morning, we shouldn't look for a life of ease and comfort. We shouldn't. We should expect trials and hardships, but we should be ready to endure, to continue on through these difficulties. We should endure because our Lord and Savior endured the cross. Let's just think about that for a minute. When we face a difficulty or a trial or a hardship, when we're ready to quit, when we're ready to fall into despondency or get discouraged, let's remember what Christ endured for us. He didn't have to come down, take on the form of a man. He didn't have to live a life where he was ridiculed, mocked, laughed at, jested, deceived. I mean, it goes on and on and on. He didn't have to endure the suffering and the pain and the humiliation of the cross. He didn't have to die on that cross. He didn't have to go to the grave. But he did it for us. So we could have eternal life. So we could have our sins forgiven. So next time when we have a difficulty or trial, I encourage you just endure because Jesus Christ endured for you. He went to the cross for our sins. How about we endure because we know? Here's another reason to endure. We need to endure because we know that we'll be victorious through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You see, because we're saved, We already have the victory. This morning, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've trusted Him as your Savior, I tell you, this is the worst it's going to get for you. I mean, the world can throw everything at you. But when the time comes for you to enter into eternity, you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. You have already conquered because of Jesus Christ. And so we should endure knowing that we will be victors with Jesus Christ, knowing that we will have the victory. You know, I want to encourage you this morning to endure. Never quit. Never give up. Continue to persist as you do God's work. I was reading Edward Gibbon, the historian. He wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he put the Roman soldier oath is found in his book. And here's what it was. The Roman soldier, upon entering in the army, promised never to desert his standard, to submit his own will to the commands of his leaders, and to sacrifice his life for the safety of the emperor and the empire. Now this morning, the Bible does not give us an oath to take as Christians. But I tell you what, if Roman soldiers were that serious about their duty to their empire, I think we should be no less serious about our service to God and be faithful to our Lord and Savior. Another thing we find about soldiers, notice in verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." It says there that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, this morning, another thing that we have concerning soldiers is they separate themselves from the world. Now, we're talking about Roman soldiers. That's the context here. Roman soldiers, we know, gave up their desires, their personal desires, their plans, and their goals for their nation's service. Now, many do that today when they enter into the military. They give up their own plans, their own desires, so that way they could serve. That's what the Roman soldiers did. They didn't plan on pursuing other careers while they were soldiers. Now, once they were released from that responsibility, then they can go on and pursue careers and they can have a life. According to Grotius and his Rules of War, Roman soldiers were not allowed to marry or engage in any trade. They were excluded from things so that their pursuits as a soldier would not be hindered. Now, Paul's not teaching that extreme, of course. What he's saying is, look at the dedication of a Roman soldier. They separated themselves from the affairs of this world so that way they could be a soldier. So they could go forth and represent their kingdom, and they could go into battle if they had to. Now, believers, this morning, I want to challenge you to think on this. We should not strive after the affairs of this world. Our focus should be on things of God. Our focus should be on God's Word, walking with God, living for God. You know, we know in 1 John chapter 2 that the things of the world will pass away. You know, there are not a lot of things I can guarantee, but I can guarantee this. When you go into eternity, you're going to leave everything else behind. You're taking nothing with you. It's all going to stay here. I was reading a story of a family that was waiting, and a man had wealth, accumulated a lot of materials and a lot of money, and he was nearing death. And many people showed up, and sadly, many showed up just to see if they were in the will. And when he passed away, his lawyer came out, and someone popped up and said, "Well, did he leave anything?" And the lawyer looked, he said, "Of course he left everything." You think about that. We're not taking anything with us. You could be the greatest person in your career, you know, your career, the direction you go. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, whether you're a construction worker, whatever it is, you could be the greatest. But when the time comes for you to go into eternity, you're leaving everything behind. You can even accumulate the most treasures in this world. But when the time comes, you're leaving them behind and you're going to leave them to someone else to take over and to have. You see, this morning our focus should be on things of God, because everything else eventually will pass away. And not only that, but you know, everything we have today, we could lose tomorrow. And we really can. There's nothing guaranteed in our world. I thank God, and we should pray that our, you know, things stay stable so we can have a nice life. But you know, nothing's guaranteed. There is no job that's guaranteed. There is no nation that's guaranteed to have the prosperity that's there. Anything can be lost in a matter of hours, minutes sometimes. So we should be thankful for what we have. And there's nothing wrong with having a good career. Nothing wrong with having a nice house or a nice car. But let's remember that our focus should be on the things of God and not on these things that we have in the world. So we may be employed in this world, but Paul says don't be entangled in it. In other words, don't be so caught up in it that's what you're living for. That's your goal. That every ounce of energy that you have is spent towards things of the world. Make sure that you're living for God. So we may live in this world, but let's not live for it. You know, if we're going to remain faithful to God and to His work, We must have the dedication of the soldier. Now let's look at the next example. He says there in verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Now he's talking about the athlete, the desire of the athlete. He's talking about striving, about being crowned. Paul often referred to the athlete in his letters. And here, in this case, he's talking about the athlete, what they strive for, what they go after. Now, of course, the athlete he was referring to was not the Arkansas Razorback football player. He was referring to the ancient Olympic athlete is who he was referring to. Now, I'll give you some information that we know from history concerning these athletes. The ancient Olympic Games, now we have Olympics coming up, the summer ones here, I believe, coming up shortly. But the ancient Olympic Games were held every 4 years, and they were held in Greece. It was a time when athletes would gather from around the Mediterranean to compete in numerous activities. It began as just a one-day event. It eventually expanded to a five-day event or ceremony, so to speak. And it was a time of peace. You read of the gladiators. They didn't come until the Romans came in. What Paul was referring to was the Olympic athletes in Greece. Now, they had strict rules for these athletes if they were going to compete. They had strict rules, and I'll give you some that we have found. We know that the events were open to all classes of competitors. Now, at first, they had some restrictions, but eventually opened them up to all classes of competitors. But only athletes of pure Greek descent could participate to start with. Later, they opened it up to others, but they had some issues with that at first. No women were ever allowed to participate. To participate, you had to have 10 months of preparation, followed by what they called 1 month of exercise. That was conditioning. In other words, you had to be ready to come in. They just didn't want you to get off the couch and show up. You had to prepare yourself and get ready. Also, the competitor and every member of his family, I thought this was interesting, every member of his family took an oath that competitor would observe the rules. Bribery was not allowed. They had to be innocent of what they called sacrilege, in other words, robbing or defiling a temple. And the crowns that they earned, they didn't have gold medals. They earned basically modest, and I guess say those crowns that were made of those leaves, they were modest and without value because they were interested in honor. They weren't interested in gold or medals. They wanted people to compete just to be the best is what they wanted. Now, if any rule was broken, the athlete was eliminated and that athlete was disgraced and humiliated. I mean, they took it serious and they didn't want anybody to break the rules. Now, the ancient athlete, of course, desired to compete and they desired to win. And what they did is they ensured that they would not be eliminated. I imagine they played within the rules. We know, according to history, we have some examples of people who did break the rules and they faced the consequences. But they competed in a correct manner. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us here. Notice we go back to our verse 5. "And a man also strive for masteries." He says, "Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Now first, we see that word strive. That means to contend. It implies that there's some serious effort. You know, believers are not to just sit back and just let the things happen. You know, as Christians, we're not just to say, well, whatever happens, happens. I'll just go from day to day. If God wants this, this will happen. We're to get involved. We're to serve God. We're to be faithful. And we're to be active as we live for the Lord. You think of a modern athlete. Let's jump to 2012. You think of modern athletes today. They work hard to succeed. They work hard to be great. Many of them will work hours at their sport. Now, yeah, professional athletes, that's all they do. They'll work hours to become great at what they do. And they'll sacrifice time in order to be great. You see, Paul tells us there that a believer must strive. We must work, or we must not work for salvation, but work to walk with God. And we must strive to be faithful. You know, we need to put some effort into serving God. We need to put some effort into prayer. If you don't pray and you're saved, I encourage you to put some effort into it. Set aside some time to talk to God, to start your day, in the middle of the day, at the end of the day. Talk to the Lord. We need to put some effort into Bible study. We need to put some effort into witnessing. You know, when an athlete fails to exercise and prepare, they're going to fail when they get to that competition. That'll happen. It's no different for the believer. You know, if you refuse to seek God in prayer, don't be surprised when He doesn't guide or doesn't answer prayers. If you refuse to read His Word, we shouldn't be shocked if we don't grow spiritually. If you refuse to share Jesus Christ with others, don't be amazed when the people around you remain in their sins, have no interest in Christ. You see, we need to put some effort into these things. Be faithful in God's work. We must strive lawfully, is what the Bible tells us there, or correct before God. In other words, we need to do things according to His Word. Not according to our ideas, our methods, our schemes, our plans, but according to God's Word. I'll give you some thoughts on this. First, we must approach Him correctly. The Bible tells us in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." This morning, I look around this auditorium, I hope and pray you're all saved, but if you're not saved, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you want to spend eternity with God the Father, you must come through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. There's not many ways, or we're not told to find a good way. We're told to come through Jesus Christ and put our faith in Him. He's the way for salvation. So we must approach God through Jesus Christ. Afterwards, according to John chapter 15, we must abide in Christ if we're going to grow spiritually. That word abide refers to where someone lives, their abode. After this service, you're probably going to go back to where you live. We're to abide in Christ spiritually. Now, physically right now, we cannot, of course. But spiritually, we're to abide with Him. Remain with Him. And that's how we're to grow in the Lord. And then, we're told in the book of Hebrews that we're to pray in Christ's name because He's the mediator between God and us. And then also, we're to rely on Christ's power. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, you probably noticed the pattern here. Jesus Christ. That's the pattern. We're to rely upon Him, not only for salvation, but afterwards as we serve, as we live, as we walk with the Lord. That's what we're to do. We're to rely upon God. Now, if we're going to remain faithful to God or remain faithful in God's work, I think we have to have the desire of the athlete. In other words, we have to have a desire to seek after God and His ways and to be faithful and to remain with Christ and to serve the Lord. And so this morning I encourage you just to have a desire, a hunger to walk with God. Finally, if you go back to our text, you'll notice it says there in verse 5, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." The third example we have here is the diligence of the farmer. Now that word husbandman, we don't use that today in our modern language, but that refers to a farmer. That's what it's referring to. The one that plants the seed, the one that reaps in harvest time. We need to be diligent like a farmer. Now let's think about the farmer's example. First, we know that a farmer is rewarded after the work. You know, when they plant that seed, they don't see the results immediately. They have to wait for that harvest. That farmer that labors and works will eventually, I believe, taste his fruit. In other words, they will eventually reap the harvest for that work. And they will enjoy the results. And they'll look back, perhaps through the summer, and they'll be thankful for all the time they put in. Perhaps they'll look back over those hot days that they had to go out and labor from sunrise to sunset. And they'll be thankful because they have been blessed with a great harvest. You see, the work comes first. And that's what I want you to notice or think about this morning. As we do God's work, we may not see the rewards immediately. But it doesn't mean God's not going to bless us. We must be faithful to God's work. The rewards will come eventually. You see, the farmer must plant the seed before he can harvest it. It doesn't work the other way. You just don't find it. He has to plant that seed. And he must work diligently before he can enjoy the blessing. He's got to oversee the field. They got to water their crops. They got to do this throughout the entire summer. And then they'll receive the harvest and then they'll be blessed. You know, a farmer must sacrifice if he's to have a harvest. Farmers just don't go out and plant the seed and then go sit down on the porch and just, I guess they take the day off for the next 6-7 months and then go out and harvest. There's work to be done throughout that entire time. And they have to remain faithful and they have to be diligent in that work. And then they go out and gather the harvest. You know, as believers, we're to work. Not for salvation. Not to please God, but because God has already saved our souls. We belong to God. We love God. We want to be faithful to Him. And we're to work for the Lord. And if need be willing to sacrifice some of our time, perhaps, maybe some of the things we may enjoy, so that way we can do God's work. I was reading about Fritz Kreisler. He was a famous violinist in the early 1900s. And he said this concerning his career. He said, "Narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, and week after week, for years, he says, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin." That was sacrifice he made for his career. Now, some of you this morning are probably making sacrifices for your career, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we must be willing to sacrifice, perhaps at times, for God's work. You know, we support missionaries as a church, but those missionaries aren't going to be supported unless we give a little bit of what we have. We want to see people saved in this community. I don't know about you, I want to see people saved in this community. We want to see the church grow. That may take some time and some effort on our behalf, sacrificing some of our time so we can come out and hand out tracts. Or just in your own personal life, being a witness and a testimony to your friends, inviting them to church and then coming to church with them and sharing the gospel. See, it takes some work and some effort. Now, another thing about the farmer will always harvest what he has sown. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Notice what it says about sowing and reaping here. Galatians chapter 6. And this principle of sowing and reaping, you'll find throughout the entire Bible, from the Old Testament all the way through to the book of Revelation, you'll see this teaching, this basic principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, and it says there in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, what we find in this passage here is just the basic principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. Basically, if you decide to live in sin and decide to go that direction, you're going to have the results of that. You're not going to have a strong spiritual life. You're not going to know God's Word. You're not going to be close to God if you choose to go the way of the world. And likewise, if you choose to walk with God, read the Bible, pray, serve the Lord, then yes, eventually you will reap the results of a strong spiritual life. You will be blessed. You see, it's just the basic principle of sowing and reaping. And we find that here. That's what Paul was challenging Timothy with. He said, you need to be diligent like the farmer and be faithful in your work for God. Yes, there are going to be times when you're going to be discouraged, because you may not see the results. Yes, there are going to be times you may wonder, am I doing the right thing? Walking with God? Am I doing the right thing? Sacrificing this time? Studying the Bible? And Paul is telling Timothy, just continue like the farmer does in the middle of the summer when it's hot out. Be diligent. God will bless you in due time. God will bless you if you just remain faithful to Him. You see, the farmer always harvests what he has sown. Wheat for wheat, barley for barley. He's not going to go plant an apple tree and go find a whole bunch of peaches coming down. He's going to reap what he has sown. This morning, I challenge you to think on that. Right now, from this point on in your life, you will reap what you sow. And if you decide you want to walk with God and be faithful and just dig into your Bible, you're going to reap the results of that. Likewise, if you choose to live for yourself, you reap the results for that as well. So I want to encourage you to seek God. Be faithful. Also, the farmer reaps more than he sows. Think about that. A farmer will plant a seed, maybe several seeds, but when it comes time to harvest, many times those seeds will produce, I guess, a multitude more than what was put in that ground. You think of a tree, you put a seed, perhaps it's an apple seed, and when you have a tree that comes up eventually, there are apples all over the place. You see, we will reap more than what we sow. Two thoughts on that. First, if you go the way of the flesh, you decide to live in sin, and I imagine most of you already know this, sins multiply. They do. If you're not careful, you can make a decision, perhaps, you know, tell one lie, next thing you know, you got to tell another one to cover that, another one, and next thing you know, it's a multitude of sin there that you, I got to get things right with God. Likewise, though, here's the challenge I want you to notice this morning. God's work is the same way. If we are faithful in witnessing and taking the gospel out. You see, this morning, not one individual can reach the entire world. God knows that. God knows that not one of us can reach this entire world. Or not one of us can even reach this entire neighborhood or this community. But together, if we take the gospel out, you lead a friend to Christ, or you bring them to church, they trust in Christ, they're saved, they love God. Next thing you know, they invite their parents, or they invite their brother, or their sister, or their mom and dad. It begins to multiply. You see, that's God's work, and we need to be faithful in God's work and pray that God will bless. You see, the farmer always reaps more than he sows, and if we are faithful, God will bless us. You see, if we're going to reap the harvest this morning, if we're going to reap the harvest, we must be in the fields. We have to. We can't reap the harvest if we stay inside the house. And someone else is going to go out and reap the harvest. You know, Matthew chapter 9. Let's just turn over there real quick this morning and we'll read this passage. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says there, Matthew 9 verse 35. As soon as I get there, Matthew chapter 9. And we begin reading in verse 35. It says there, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." If we're going to reap the harvest, we must be in the fields. First, notice that Jesus himself took notice of the fields. This morning, if we're going to do God's work and take the gospel out, we have to recognize that there's a need. You know, I think if we begin to look around, we realize that people, there is a need. There are people this morning that are discouraged, are looking for answers. The Bible provides them. Let's take the gospel to them. Let's notice the fields. Next, we have to consider the fields. You know, you can notice something and not consider it. Have you ever driven through Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas and you're driving along those straight roads and you may pass field after field after field and next thing you know, you're in another city and you didn't even notice anything around you. You just get going. As believers, we can get that way in life. We can wake up, go to work, not necessarily even do anything bad. At the end of the day, we can look back and say, you know what, I didn't even notice the people around me. I didn't even realize that there were people looking for answers or perhaps that I could have encouraged with the Word of God. You see, we need to consider the people that are in the fields. We also, it says there, we need to pray for laborers. Once again, we can't do it alone. Pray for others to help us. But what I want to draw your attention to, if you'll notice in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 1, right after this passage we just read, it says, "And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, heal all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases." We find he gives them their names, and you know what he does? He sends them out. So not only do we need to notice, consider the fields, pray for laborers, but you know what we need to do? We need to go ourselves. You see, we're not in management. God didn't call us to be managers and tell others to go out and do the work. We're all to go out and do the work. We're to pray for laborers and we're all to spread the gospel and reach out to those around us. You know, in closing this morning, Timothy was challenged at the end of this to consider what he had been taught. You know, Paul challenged him and Paul then said, consider this. Now that word consider means to think on, to perceive, to understand. You see, we should consider God's Word whenever we read it. But this morning, I want to challenge you to consider this passage yourself. Think about the dedication of the soldier to endure hardness, to never quit. Think about the desire of the athlete to seek after God and to do things correctly after the Lord. And finally, how about the diligence of the farmer to be faithful day in, day out, spreading the gospel, taking the gospel out? This morning, I believe that our church must continue taking the Word of God out. We have to. If we fail to do that, then we're going to fail as a church. We have to take the gospel out so people can know that there's a Savior and they can be saved. And this morning, the church is made up of the people. This building, thank God for this building, but the people make up the church. So as individuals, we have to take this seriously. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for this passage and this challenge which we have seen from Paul to Timothy. I pray today as we have this time of invitation, Lord, if there's anyone here that is without you, if they're here, they're not saved, I pray today will be the day that they'll trust you as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, for our church. I pray we continue to be faithful, not only to your Word, but in proclaiming your Word. And I pray that we'll each take this challenge seriously and we'll witness as a church, but also as individuals. I pray you bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for just a minute. Piano's going to begin to play. This message was not necessarily what people would call a salvation message this morning. But as I mentioned before, the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. If there is someone here this morning, sitting out there and perhaps during this message or even before, the Holy Spirit has really worked in your heart. And you may say, well, I've been good. I've been in church. I've tried to do right. But I've never placed my faith in Christ. I've never sought God's forgiveness. I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior. This morning, if you are here and you're like that, I just want to encourage you to place your faith in Christ for salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never trusted in Christ, then you're in your sins. And you need to approach God through Jesus Christ. If you have any questions, I encourage you to come down this morning. We can show you in the Bible how you can know that you're saved.